is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has
Let me say also this morning that we are very glad to have Ivan and Glenn with us, Wayne's brothers. Ivan will be sharing on the piano during the service, and we're so glad they could be here today. We're glad for each one of our guests that are here as we celebrate this Graduate Sunday. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can gather together, that we can worship and praise you. We pray now that you would open our minds and hearts to your love and to your truths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 569. We'll understand it better by and by.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest often see no bright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, when we tell the story how we've overcome, we will understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. come, we will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thought, as word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story never overcome. We will understand it better.
Our litany this morning is entitled, Follow Me. Jesus said, Follow me. Come be my disciples.
And we reply, as have others through the centuries, we do not understand. Please explain what you mean.
Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.
Expect us to give away all that we have worked so hard to get, then we too will be poor.
Again he replied, if you want to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me.
Put myself aside and take up my cross. That sounds scary, Lord. What else do you want me to do?
And he said, if you will come and be my disciple, I will show you how to fish for people.
Lord, I do want to help, but please don't ask me to speak to others, or to share my faith, or to share your love.
Listen, my child, if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father in heaven.
But Lord, it seems like I'm doing all the work. What about all the others who are not doing their part?
Jesus replied, what is that to you? You follow me. And all God's people responded, Lord, we hear and accept your call and claim on our lives. Empower us with your Holy Spirit that we might follow you and share your love every moment of every day.
To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated. This is Graduate Sunday. As we were preparing for the service today, we were looking at Pentecost Sunday and Graduate Sunday, and the graduates won out. Not that they are over the Holy Spirit or anything else, but the fact that this is a very special Sunday for them, and we wanted to take some time to acknowledge their achievement. We have three graduates within the church, and then we have two grandchildren that have also graduated. I'd like to ask Alyssa, Brianna, and Jordan, if you're here, come forward, please. I believe all three of them are here. Alyssa Harold, Brianna Harold, and Jordan Kamikawa. Are Colton and Bailey here also today? No? Okay. Colton Knuckles and Bailey Randolph also graduated. We do want to recognize them. Congratulations, ladies. Yes. Now the fun begins. I don't mean to scare you, but the easy part of life is behind you. Okay, we've got one more coming. We will give him just a moment. Here he comes. All right. Come on down, Jordan. Yes. All right. We are so appreciative of you all, so proud of you for your achievement. What are your plans from here?
I plan to go to Roan State for studio work. Roan
State for studio work?
For studio art.
Studio art. Okay. It didn't ring a bell. Okay. Very good. Nursing at Roan State. All right, Roan State, nothing wrong with that. Wonderful, congratulations. Let's give them a round of applause for their achievements. And to show a small token of our... sorry about that.
That's okay.
Wrong one, didn't have my glasses on.
That's okay.
Congratulations, we're very proud of you. Can we have a word of prayer together? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for these three and for their accomplishment of graduation from high school. We pray now that you would be with them. We pray that you would prepare them for the life that is ahead. Show them the path that you would have them to take. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Thank you. Now, for our graduates, you're going to discover, as you go out into this big, wide, wild world, that there are going to be a lot of opportunities for you to come up with some very valid reasons why you can't do the things you're expected to do. Now, in short, those are called excuses, right? Recently, I came across some excuses that people had for missing work. You may want to write some of these down. One, this is a pretty good one. I was sprayed by a skunk. Two, I tripped over my dog and was knocked unconscious. Three, I forgot to come back to work after lunch. Okay, now here's another good one. I eloped. Now, for a lot of young people, they're going to say, oh, I'm out of school. The next thing is to get married. Two words of advice. First one is don't. Second one is elope. You saw the wedding on TV yesterday. Do you realize how many millions of dollars that cost? Okay. Next one is my brain went to sleep and I couldn't wake it up. I've been there. My cat unplugged my alarm clock. My monkey died. I won't be in today because I have spring fever. I won't be in today because I can't find my clothes. Okay. Now, we're at a church service here, so let's see if we can't get a little more scriptural, okay? A lot of us here this morning, not only the graduates, but a lot of us have some very good excuses why we can't serve God the way God wants us to. Why God can't use us for the plan and purpose that He's got for each of our lives. Next time you feel like God really can't use you, I want you to remember some of the people in the Bible. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered and killed an Egyptian. Gideon was a cowardly runt. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached let's not go there, okay. One time he did preach without any clothes on to get a point across, whatever it was. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Jesus three times. The disciples fell asleep when they're supposed to be praying. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene had been demon-possessed. The Samaritan woman had been divorced five times. Zacchaeus was too short. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. and Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God still has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. Fortunately, for us church folk, there's a song that's been written about this. And I thought I'd better sing it before Clayton got a hold of it and decided to sing it himself. Okay, church folk, this is for all of us, not just the graduates. Listen up.
Keith. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. And in the winter, it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit with some old friend or just to stay at home and rest and have a quiet weekend. Now, the church bench is there too hard and the choir sings way too loud. And you know how nervous you can get when you're sitting in a great big crowd. Now, the doctor says you better watch them crowds or give you heart attacks. But you go to Neyland Stadium because you say it helps you relax. Well, it's a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But when work time comes on Monday, well, you're feeling quite all right. Now, one of the children has a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Why, the whole family had to stay at home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now the preacher, she's too young, or maybe he's too old. His sermons are not hard enough, or else they're way too bold. His voice is much too quiet. Sometimes he gets too loud. He needs to have more dignity, or else he's way too proud. Now the sermons, they're too long, or maybe they're too short. He ought to preach the word with dignity instead of stomp and snort. Now the preacher that we've got must be the world's most stuck-up man. I heard a woman say just the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them, and from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses.
Oh, mercy. Let's see where we're going to go from there. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
Pastor,
yes.
Dad failed coming into the house Thursday, but God was real good to us. All he's got is a bruised up knee, and he's limping. But I'm thankful that there was no broken bone. So it's been an interesting week. It's going to be an interesting next week. So we'd ask for your prayers for Alice, for Dad, and for me.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Any others? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning. that your grace and your strength are sufficient for each one of us as we go through these times of transition in life. We transition from winter and spring to summer. We transition from high school to college. We transition from one pastor to another. We transition from one set of aches and pains and problems and situations to a few dozen others. But you promised, in the midst of life as it happens to us, that no matter what happens, your grace is sufficient for us, and your strength will be made perfect in our weakness. Lord, we pray today for those in Santa Fe, Texas, who are grieving the loss of these students and teacher. For those recently who were in the school bus accident. For those, Lord, who are dealing with broken relationships, broken hearts. For those of us, Lord, who realize that not only is it springtime, not only is summer just around the corner, but as surely as those seasons are upon us, fall is coming again. And many of us know what it's like to be in the fall season of life, approaching winter when we realize the finiteness of these lives that we live here. But we give you thanks and praise that you have promised us eternal life. Oh, the time will come when, like the larva in the cocoon, we'll have to say goodbye to that cocoon and then we'll spread our wings and fly. We thank you, Lord, for transitions. They're not easy. Often we don't like change. But remind us it's all in your plan and purpose for us. Things are going to happen that we don't understand. They may not be a part of your plan, but you can bring good out of them, and we're so thankful for that today. We pray that you would be with each of our graduates. We pray that you would guide and direct their lives from this point on. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment and strength to be the person that you're calling them to be. Be with parents, Lord, as we deal with empty nest syndrome, as we watch our children that seems like just a year or two ago were getting on the bus for the first time to go to school, and now here they are going away to college. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with all of our leaders. Guide and direct them, give them wisdom and discernment. Be with our troops, Lord. Keep them safe. Be with their families. Watch over them. Moment by moment, day by day, may we be sure to give you all of the glory and praise because we know that you're guiding and directing each one of our lives. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Remain standing and sing number 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Savior, still our rest. despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the 50th chapter of Genesis, verses 14 to 21. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him, they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Bring her but to glory.
thought an appropriate sermon title this morning for our seniors would be Life's Detours. You know, so often all of us, no matter how young, how old, we've got our plans, we've got our direction planned, and so often life seems to take us on a completely different route. His father was a horse trainer. This meant that his family was always on the move, from stable to stable, farm to farm, racetrack to racetrack, ranch to ranch, training horses. As a result, the son's education was always being changed. His senior year of high school, the English teacher gave the class an assignment. They were to write a paper on what their dream was once they finished high school. That night, the boy stayed up late writing a 7-page paper about his dream of someday owning a horse ranch. He included a detailed picture of the 200-acre ranch without buildings and a 4,000-square-foot house on a rise overlooking the rest of the ranch. He was pleased with his paper as he laid it on the teacher's desk. 2 days later, the paper was returned to him, and on the top was a big red F, followed by a note that said, "See me after class." He couldn't believe it. After class, he asked the teacher why she had failed his paper. She said, "This is an unrealistic dream, especially for a boy like you. You have no money and your family has no roots. To own a ranch like this requires a lot of money. You would have to buy the property, develop the buildings, buy the initial herd of horses, pay the feed and vet services, along with all of the other expenses." Then she said, "If you will rewrite your paper with some more realistic goals, I will reconsider your grade." That afternoon, instead of riding the bus home, he walked, deep in thought. That evening, he asked his father to read the paper and explained what the teacher had said. When his dad finished reading the paper, the son asked what the dad thought that he should do. The father thought a few moments. Then he said, "Son, this is a decision, a very important decision, that you will have to make." Several days later, after class, the boy went up to the teacher and quietly said, "You can keep your F and I will keep my dream." Today, Monty Roberts is known as the Horse Whisperer. He has a 200-acre ranch in California with a 4,000-square-foot ranch house right in the middle of it. He's often asked to speak to children and youth all over the country, and his message is always the same: follow your dream. But as you follow that dream, young people and those of us that are not so young, realize that there are detours that'll come along. Why are there detours? Well, it could be because our expectations are unrealistic. Last Sunday, I mentioned about professional football players and the kind of money they make. That'd be an unrealistic dream for me. People put ideas into our heads that are not us. We see this at Little League baseball games and junior beauty pageants. Parents who aren't able to do or haven't been able to do this sort of thing kind of try to do it vicariously through their children. You watch some of the parents that are doing the most hollering and screaming at these peewee football games someday. Try to picture that guy out on the football field running. He can't do it, but he's determined that his son will. Often the detour can come from within ourselves. Talking about the professional players. Not too long ago on the news, I told about one player on the news. Momentarily, he lost his common sense and did something he shouldn't have done. Subsequently, he lost his contract and the $965,000 per game that he was being paid. I mentioned to Catherine that I'd be more than happy to sign up for a couple games at that rate, but knowing my luck, before the first kickoff, I'd break a leg or something, and that'd be that. Also, another of life's detours is because of unfavorable circumstances. I had my plans all made. I was getting ready to start high school, and when I finished high school, I was either going to go to West Point or to Annapolis. Why, as an eighth grader, there was even a girl that I had invited to the military ball that they had there. Well, I didn't take her. I didn't go. In fact, after eighth grade, my parents informed me that we were moving from New England to Florida. And that has a way of changing things. In fact, our children, bless their hearts, being PKs, they discovered what it means to have detours. I think out of seven children, there was only one that finished at the same high school they started at. Things do change. Then there are unresolved inner conflicts that can detour dreams and lives. In Romans 7, Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Think with me back into the Old Testament, book of Genesis, where it talks about Joseph. He discovered what detours were. One of 12 brothers. His other brothers were jealous of him. So they threw a little bit of a detour in his path. They sold him into slavery and told his father that he was dead. Well, Joseph was taken to Egypt. He became a slave in a prominent family. The wife of his employer accused him falsely, and he was thrown into prison. Another detour. Somehow, when you're looking out through bars, you can't plan too much of a route, too much of a future for yourself. And then he managed to help one of the prisoners that was in the cell block there to gain his freedom, with the promise that that prisoner would remember him when he got in a position to help him out. Well, somehow that promise was forgotten. But in the midst of all of this, being betrayed by his own brothers, being sold into slavery, being falsely accused, being thrown into prison, being left there to rot. Notice these truths about Joseph. He remained faithful in difficult situations. These detours did not cause him to lose his faith. In God's kingdom, we need to remember that detours are not dead ends. Okay? God's plan and purpose for you and I will be fulfilled if we continue to trust God. Secondly, he practiced forgiveness. He told his brothers later, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." Thirdly, notice that he faced detours with joy. He was not joyful because of bad circumstances, but he was joyful in them. The Bible says, "Be not weary in well-doing." It doesn't say, "Don't be weary from well-doing." I don't know if you've ever discovered it or not, but being a part of God's kingdom, being a part of a church, there are days when we're just totally worn out from the well-doing. We're not tired of it, we're tired from it, and there's a big difference. Joseph was not joyful because of the bad stuff, but he was joyful through it. Paul reminds us to rejoice in the Lord always. If you've seen the play, The Man from La Mancha, there's a song in that work that reminds you and me that in the midst of life, in the midst of life's detours, we should keep seeking to follow God's plan and our dreams. Remember, the song says, "To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbeatable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when our arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star." Graduates, and those of you that are still struggling in the school of hard knocks, hang on. Remember that even when detours happen, God will help us to reach our dreams, to reach for the stars. And if they are the plan and purpose that God has for us, God will make a way. We used to sing in a gospel chorus that said, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do." Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for our graduates. We thank you for their families that have stood behind them, for parents, for grandparents, for all of those who have so faithfully down through the years sought to lead and guide them. We pray now that you would be with them as they take flight into their future, as they go to college, as they begin careers, as they begin families. May they day by day trust in you. Remind us, Lord, that so many of the people that did great things through the scriptures were people who had also failed so greatly. But your love and grace were sufficient for them, and it's sufficient for us today. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please sing with us number 530, "Are Ye Able?"
Dreamers answered to the dead.
Now may you leave this place as graduates, as long ago graduates, as hopeful graduates, ready to go out into the field of service to share God's loving grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no